Welcome to everyone. Today we are live and we are glad to be able to be with you, and we hope and pray that you are prepared to let the Bible speak in your life as well. If you will, get your Bibles out and get them ready, and also a piece of paper and pencil or writing tool to be able to write down the answers to all the questions that are going to be called in today. The telephone numbers for you to call right now, the lines are available, are 308-9564. That is the voice line. 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line. As many of you know already, toward the end of the broadcast, such as last week, the questions tend to pile up. And so now is your chance to go ahead and join us. If you have a question you would like to ask, we will go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564, and you can call in your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. And thus, when you hear the answer from God's Word as we read it there, you please understand that this is not from man, but this answer is coming from God in His Word, the same Word that you and I will be judged with one day. So that's why it's so important for us to see what God has to say here and now so that we can make any kind of adjustments to be able to love Him as we should. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So let's find out what He says so that we can truly love God. One more time, there is one line available, 308-9564 is the voice line. The text line is 725-9283. Steve, you've got the first question?
Yes, I do, Ricky. Thank you. Sam called in, and Sam's got a two-part question. One is about the designations for Jesus being called the beloved Son and also being called the begotten Son. And he wanted to know if there's a difference between the two. And yes, there is. The word beloved simply means his esteem for Jesus, his love for him. The term begotten refers to the idea of Jesus' birth, but more so than just his birth, one of a supreme, foremost relationship in all of the things that are in existence. So he is the first begotten. He's also referred to as the first begotten from the dead about his resurrection. The second question he had was, will people be judged for tattoos? Well, if you've ever seen an NBA basketball game or the college basketball games, you
seen a lot of tattoos, and that comes from a passage in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, which says, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor put any marks upon you. That putting marks upon you would be the, again, the way thing we would think of when we would see the idea of tattoos on people. Well, that is an Old Testament passage, Sam, and we have seen in the New Testament that the covenant that we're under now, the law we're under now, is the law to Christ. And so the Old Testament law has been passed away. The only way we know what things that we're going to be held accountable for in the judgment are those things that are found in that new covenant. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says that you will have one that will judge you in the last day, the words that I have spoken to you will judge you in the last day. So in the New Testament, there is no prohibition or forbidding the idea of putting tattoos on us. And so a person that has tattoos will not be judged. And, by the way, I have taught several people the gospel who have been baptized for the remission of sins that had tattoos, and regardless of whatever things were in their life, that remission of sins that they received from the baptism washes away any sins that a person might have. But there are no laws against tattoos in the New Testament. So Sam, we appreciate that. Got other questions? Please call in. And that number that we have given to you is 308-956-956. I don't have my card out. Yet we got all the information on it. The lines are now available, 308-956-4. If you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. We have Natalia calling in this question. Natalia, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for being a diligent student of God's Word, and we sure do appreciate it very much. We have been able to meet him face to face, and he is such an eager individual to want to do what God says. And thank you, Natalia. Thank you for your question, too. His first question, there's two of them here. His first question is it still in God's will for us to honor the Sabbath? Well, Natalia, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. And so that
the idea of honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy was something that was started with the law of Moses. And so that began with just for that one family, the family of Israel, and they were to keep the Sabbath holy. That was one of the commandments that were given. And of all those 10 that were written in stone, 9 of them were repeated in the New Testament, but that one was not. That one was not repeated in the New Testament under Christ's law. So therefore, no, we do not keep that. And those who would say that we are to keep the Sabbath holy, it says that they are fallen from grace, and that Christ, they have become estranged from Christ or separated from Christ. Galatians 5 and verse 4. Matter of fact, when you look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, it brings out that we're not even to be judged by those days, including the Sabbath. And so Colossians 2, verses 14 through 16, and Galatians 5 and verse 4. His second question is, thank you again, Latala, for that question. His second one is, do you still take communion every Sunday like in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7? Are we supposed to do that? Well, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the most elaborate discussion of the Lord's Supper is given, it brings out in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And then also in verse 25, it says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So that passage does not define how often that we are to partake of it. And so if we were to just use that passage, we would have to say no, unless we wanted to look a little bit further. And when we look a little bit further, we find out that we are supposed to be doing what they did back then. And so if we can find out what they did, then we should be doing just like they. And we can see that we're under command to follow such examples as that. For example, that is commanded to us in Philippians 3 and verse 17, where Paul, God through Paul, writes, brethren, join in following my example. There's a command. Note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Then chapter 4 of the same book, verse 9, the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, which is the first verse of the chapter we read a minute ago, says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. So there are three passages show us that we are to do what Paul did. So let's go find out what Paul did in Acts chapter 20. And remember, those are commands that we just read. And here in Acts chapter 20, it says, on the first day of the... I'm gonna leave that next word out. Yeah, I know some of y'all just went ahead and added it. But what if that word had been year? First day of the year. Let's read it that way. It says, upon the first day of the year, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight. How often would we conclude that the disciples came together to break bread if the word had been year? Well, right, it would have been a yearly thing. But it doesn't say year. What if it had said for a month, first day of the month? How often would we conclude? Right. So if it said year, been year, month, it says month. Well, it doesn't say those. But what it does say is, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. So, if we would understand it to be yearly, if it said year, and monthly, if it said month, why wouldn't we understand it to be weekly when it says week? Yeah, see the point there? So that's when they came together to break bread. And if you notice in the previous verse, he had hung around a week just to wait on that gathering of God's people. So there's your answer. And we're supposed to do as Paul did and as the early disciples did. And that's what they did every first day of the week. They came together to break bread. Thank you, Latalo. Again, those passages were 1 Corinthians 11, 23 on, Colossians 3, 17, chapter 4, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 11, 1, and then, of course, the verse you quoted, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Thank you so much. Time for us to take our first break. We want you to know that while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions, and we will be able to go to the Bible for the answer. Even the information we're about to give you about this correspondence course, please note that you very well, according to what we hear, most people that we get to see face to face, you will discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. Why? Because many churches today cannot talk or teach on these things because it is not built into their doctrine. So, if you've never enrolled in the course, why not now? Go ahead and call the operator standing by. I'll go ahead and give you the number so you can jump start ahead of those that will listen to the break, 553-5157. Now's your chance to go ahead and call and we will be able to get that course to you in even tomorrow's mail. So don't miss out and get this course free to you in the free of charge to you in the mail. Here's the details. We'll be right back.
So don't miss out on that Bible course, Bible's course. We're more than happy to send it to you. And by the way, many of you will get the course and you will just let it sit there and get lost in a stack of mail. Let me encourage you to go dig that out and then study through God's Word, because there's only one way that you'll get that treasure, and that is for you to study it out for yourself. So look up every verse in the course, make certain those things are right. And by the way, if we miss the mark, you will be our friend to point it out to us. We are thrilled to be able to hear from you. Just like with this program, we want to let the Bible speak, and that's just one tool to help us to get our hearts and our minds right where they should be, and that is to want to tell things in God's Word. So go ahead anyway in that course. If the line is busy, then just hang up, then in a moment or two, hit redial. Again, that number's 553-5157. But now, if you've already got the course and you're on the way to, go ahead and call right now for your question to be answered. 3-0-8-9-5-6-4, that is the number both lines are available. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve, you have a question?
Yes, appreciate that. We appreciate those who call in and give us your questions. It is most helpful for the way this program goes, and is a great benefit to others out there. You know, you may have a question, and you're thinking, nobody's interested in that. And there may be 5, 10, 15, 20 people who have the same question and wish someone would call in and ask that question. So we encourage you to call in. We got a question here from Marie, and she asks, is it a sin if you know you're supposed to take the Lord's Supper every week, but you don't? Well, there is one simple passage that I think that really illuminates for us what the answer to any question is, that says, what if I know I'm supposed to do something and I'm not doing it? I direct your attention to James chapter 4 and verse 17. James says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so that is a very plain and simple and easy answer for the question for every single one of us. And so it causes us to want to think, well, I want to know more Bible. I want to know more what the Bible has for me, what God wants me to do. I want to know more of that information. Well, that is great. And we've been, of course, advertising Bible correspondence courses. We've been the name of the program is Let the Bible Speak. We encourage people to read and study their Bibles. We advertise free Bible correspondence courses. We encourage people to participate in those. But the downside of that can be that you know more about what God would have you to do in your life. And that puts an obligation and responsibility on us to do it. James earlier says that don't be like those who hear the word, but do not obey it. That's in James chapter 1. We might just spend a little bit of time talking about the importance of learning the scriptures and doing what the scriptures tell us to do. So in James chapter 1, he tells us that in Rome verse 20, 22, get through here in a second. He says, therefore, verse 21, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so we encourage study the Bible, then read that Bible, and then act upon what that Bible says. And so, Marie, we thank you so much for that question, and we be praying for you and others who read and study that they would have the courage of their convictions to obey what God says. Alright, we have more information if you're interested, if you are sitting somewhere close to a computer, you can go to our website, which is babylonland.org, and just use that ending right now, because we have a new feature on that website, babylonland.org. If you don't want into the cell phone trend as it's going on today, then you don't have to be, you don't have to have a cell phone to text us. You can go to our website, and at the bottom of the page, you can type in your text question, and it will come directly here to our studio. And so I know that a lot of people, especially my age and up, they just don't like the cell phone texting stuff at all. And I understand that. It's a new one for me. I wouldn't do it either if I didn't have to. And so, but you can go to the website and you can type in your text question, and then again it will come to us. And so just go to babylonland.org, and at the bottom of the page you'll see a place where you can type in your text question, and it will come to us. And so we're trying to make it as easy as possible for you to communicate with us. You can call our voice line at 308-956-4, or you can text us via cell phone at 725-9283. Or if you'd rather, if you have access to a computer right now, just go to our website and you can text us at the bottom of the page at babylonland.org. Now I know that we normally advertise .com, and that is one of our sites as well, but we are transitioning over to a new site, and so the new site will be .org and .com eventually, and so you'll be going to the same place. But right now, that feature is there for those of y'all that would rather text in your question, but you don't like the cell phone stuff. And so you got your computer there, you can go ahead and communicate via that manner as well. And it will come here. here to the studio would be glad to answer your question. But whatever means are available to you, don't hesitate to call in your question right now. I think last week we probably broke some records as far as some of the questions, the number of questions coming in, especially the diversity of all the questions. And so, please don't wait till the end where they tend to pile up like that. Go ahead and call right now with your voice at 308-9564, and you can either have it written down and brought into us, or you can go live. The choice is yours. The only stipulation we ask is if you want to go live, be ready to turn your radio down and let us have your name so we can address you by name so that you yourself will know when you are on the air. So, don't hesitate to call in your question right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We can't overemphasize the need for us to stick with the Word of God. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it brings out that if we come up with something new, Paul himself says that we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As often as we go over this, I'm amazed that everyone is not struck by that verse the same way we are. Where can we go to get the truth of God's word except from his word? If we listen to the preacher, we listen to some man or pastor or overseer, and they come up with something different, even our mama, just because they may be our parent, that doesn't mean they have the rights of all the truth. We can be mistaken. And so let's go to the Bible to find the way, the truth, to get to the life that God has promised to us. And so let's not miss out on that. And so that's why this program exists, to go to the Bible, to let God speak through His Word, to let the Bible speak, and thus we will not be falling under that curse there in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. So, don't miss out on this. Now's your chance to let the Bible speak to the question in your mind. 308-9564. We're about to go to break in just a moment or two, but Steve, you want to add something to that? Yes, I was thinking, I get questions a lot, and when I'm doing home Bible studies, and probably you do too, about where all these different churches came from. And there's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, that sheds a lot of light on the things that were taught in the New Testament. Paul writes to Timothy, a man of the church of Corinth, rather referencing Timothy. He says, "For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church." So there was every church. Paul taught in every church in the first century. Think about Corinth, Rome, Ephesus. Do you think you could go anywhere and preach the gospel today? I mean, would they let you? I tried. And this was the radio right now. And we hope and pray that we would be so received as Paul was received. But the truth of the matter is, there has been different teachings that man has come up with. And so, it's interesting, sometimes the rationale for denominationalism being the seven churches of Asia. Well, Paul taught the same thing in every place in America. Also, around something interesting this week, and I knew this and I've forgotten about it, but the angel Gabriel came to Muhammad and gave him a revelation. Really? Yes. Was that it in the Bible? Because this is called Let the Bible Speak. It's not in the Bible. But it reminded me of, Galatians 1. Galatians 1 says, don't. Don't listen to that. That's right. So, now it's time for us to take a break. We want you to know that we are happy to be with you, and we hope and pray that you are happy to be able to have the Bible in front of you and let God Himself speak to to us. We live in a day and a time where we have this freedom and we take it for granted. There are many portions of the world right now where such a program as this is not allowed, nor even allowed you to be able to have or possess a Bible like that without penalty of law. So let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have right now and let God speak to us through His Word, and let's just not listen to what man says God says. Let's go to the Bible. Let's let the Bible speak. The number right now to call in your question, the lines are available, 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak. Welcome back. We're so glad that you're still with us, and maybe others are joining us. We encourage you to call in a question, 308-9564, or you can text that in to us at 725-9283. Of course, a Bible Correspondence Course.
35157. You'll be blessed immensely by taking time to enlist in that course, and in the privacy of your own home, read and study the Bible for yourself. Ricky, got a question?
Yes, I do. I want to encourage everybody to not miss out on the opportunity to get the Correspondence Course. I was just looking to see how many have enrolled today. So let me encourage you to go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157. She is there to take your information, and we will be glad to send that to you in the mail free of charge. Did I mention free of charge? Yeah, it's free of charge. It really is. We will never ask for any donation. Jesus nor the apostles ever asked for a donation or for a financial help or assistance in any way. And if they didn't, if we're going to be like them, then we should not either. And so it is our honor to share with you the wealth that God shared with us. He became poor so we can become rich. And so if we're going to be like Him, we should just use as many of our resources as possible in order to help you to be able to be rich as well. Not the treasure here, but the treasure in heaven. So don't miss out on getting that treasure that will never perish with moth or rust or corruptness or thieves break through and steal. Let us help you with that treasure that will be eternal. So go ahead and enroll in this course, 553-5157. The operator is standing by right now, and we'll be glad to get that in the mail to you. So if you have a question right now, go ahead and call the station here. There's an operator standing here pacing back and forth. Really eager to get your question. So go ahead and call here to station 308-9564, and we'll be glad to answer it on today's broadcast. We have a text question from the last digits of 113. There is their phone number. And they want to know, where in the Bible does it say when to leave problems in God's hand? Well, there are several places that we could go. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through the end of the chapter, talking about how that people get anxious over physical things, such as what we wear, what we eat, the necessities of life. And he promises us in verse 60, verse 33, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it says, take no thought on tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough problems of its own. And so the whole chapter is talking about that from verse 19 on. But that's another passage is 1 Peter chapter 5 and beginning with verse, let me start with verse 6, because it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he that he may exalt you, casting your cares, and that word is anxieties, the idea of the stresses of this life, casting your cares, your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. And then he goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, whom he may devour. And so that would be you. That would be me. And so we need to be vigilant. We need to, the things that would concern us, the problems that would be, we need to let Jesus have them. So in essence, what we've got to do is hide behind the cross, hand them to Jesus, and then run around behind the cross and hide behind him as we serve him, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time. So thank you for your question. Again, those passages, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through the end of the chapter, and then 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through, go ahead and read verse 9. You have a blessing there waiting on you as well. Thank you so much for your call, and thank you for listening. We hope and pray that this is being a blessing to you, and we pray that you will continue to listen and call in your questions. I notice that you are a frequent listener, and we sure do appreciate that very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283 is the text line, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve?
Yes, we have a question here from Mrs. Graham, and the question is, would it be illegal for God to return to the earth? I'm not sure what she has in mind with that particular question. It may have been a comment that was made earlier about what we're doing and offering the Bible Correspondence Course, and even able to do it on the radio waves is considered illegal in some countries, and God forbid it might even happen here. But what would happen if Jesus came to the earth? Would man legislate for him not to return to the earth? Well, I guess man might try to do that. But when you look at the scriptures, they're pretty clear and plain about what's going to happen to everybody, even those who think there's something by being president or chairman of the United Nations or whatever. In Philippians chapter 2, it says about Jesus who humbled himself, took upon the death of a cross. And in verse 9 of Philippians 2, it says, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And now verse 10 and 11, very interesting passages. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so whether a man passed such laws that it made it illegal for the gospel to be preached or for Jesus to be named, there's going to become a time when everybody will bow the name before God. You know, I think about that in terms and reference to
bow the knee.
What I say?
Bow the name.
Bow the name. That's
bow the knee before God.
Bow the knee before God. And I'm reminded of how people pass laws and they want to be more powerful than God. There'll come a time when everybody will bow the knee before God. And it reminds me of, you know, when there's great tragedy in this country, like there was in 9/11. Remember how everybody prayed, everybody talked to God, everybody was concerned about praying for others? Well, it's a shame that it takes a cataclysmic event like that to cause people to bow the knee. And it's temporary, because people pretty soon are back to their usual stuff and don't care about God or others anymore. But there come a time when every person will bow the knee to God. There's another passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 about the coming of the Lord again. It says he comes in flaming fire. This is verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 1. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important that no matter what law man passes, God is sovereign, and he will do his will regardless. Again, thank you for that question, Mrs. Graham. We appreciate that so much. To others who are calling and listening, rather, call in 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text it in 725-9283. And remember, that Bible correspondence course is a great opportunity for you. And please dial that number, 553-5157, and to sign up for that course.
Yes, there is an operator standing by there right now to take your information, and we are happy to send that to you. And as we said earlier, the information that you will learn from God's Word, it's not the course, it's not that piece of paper that we send to you that is important. It is what does God say in His Word, and thus you're able to be able to learn from what God says, and that's going to be the blessing that will never be taken from you. We noticed all the lines filled up all of a sudden, so please, if you're holding, go ahead and let it ring until we can get to you, and we will get to you just as quick as possible, and we are happy to be able to get your question on the air today. And so please, the one that's just letting it ring, go ahead and let it ring, and hopefully it will not time out before we can get to you. There we go. We got you. So now we can get all of those questions. And so we are glad that you are joining us right now. The lines are, there is one line available if you're interested, 308-9564, or you can always text us at 725-9283. Or if you happen to be listening via the internet, notice there's a text button at the bottom of our webpage at BibleAlone.org, and you can text us that way as well. And we are happy to be able to get your question on the air today, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the number of the number here is 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number. Go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Again, the number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We sure do appreciate all of the people that are tuning in today and interesting questions thus far dealing with worship and the need to serve the Lord. You may have questions based upon some of the activities that have occurred where you went to church this morning, or if you did. And the follow-up question concerning the Lord's Supper, is it necessary for us to commune with the Lord? Well, if you think about it, the word commune or communion is a word that is meaning there is a participation with. And so communion means we are actually sitting and having a meal with the God of this universe. This is quite a privilege. So why would we even question that? I think if the person on earth, maybe your great grandmother, you know, all of a sudden you found out she's alive and she's coming, she's wanting to have a meal with you. What would you do to be able to make it to that meal? What appointments would you cancel? What kind of work schedule would you interrupt in order to have a one last meal with her? Well, we have the God of the universe seeking to sit down with us and have a meal, a significant meal, in remembrance of his love for us. Why would we miss out on that opportunity at all? Well, you see how important it is. And then for us to discount that or to forsake that, I think it would be taken as an insult if that person invited you to a meal, if you turned it down, and certainly it would be to our God as well. The New Testament Christians, they came together to remember what he did on the first day of the week, and so should we. The lines are now available, 308-9564, that's 308-WJNI. We've got a minute or so before our next break. Steve, you have a question here?
So I have a question from Vernell, and it has to do with a statement that Jesus made. A statement is, a little while I am with you, and he wants to know, where is this quote from Jesus found? If you turn to John chapter 16, John chapter 16, that phrase is found several times in that section. First time is verse 16, I believe. It says, a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, you shall see me, because I go to the Father. And then again, in verse 18, Thomas, or what the apostles, kind of concerned about that and as what that might mean. And they say, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. And then again, verse 19, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? So that's where that scripture is found. And I think Chuck told me that a lady asked this question, so I apologize for mispronouncing the name. That's in John chapter 16, and those verses that we read were verse 16 and verse 18 and verse 19. So thank you very much for that question. And I guess a lot of people are getting home now, because we're getting a lot of questions in. We so much appreciate that. But we're coming up on a break, and don't quit calling. The line will still be open even though we're on break.
308-9564 is the line to call. 308 is the voice line, 308-9564. You can text us at 725-9283. Here's information about that correspondence course. Don't miss out on getting it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We're so glad that you are still with us, and probably others are joining us as well, since their afternoon schedule now allows it. We want to encourage you, as we do from time to time, to call in for a Bible question, 308-9564, 308-9564, or to text us at 725-9283. We really do appreciate the fact that you take time to listen, and that your interest in God's Word is such that you will call in questions. And several of you call in questions that you've heard other people ask, or have come up in Bible studies that you've been a part of. And so we really appreciate the fact that you, again, take the time out to call us in and ask these questions for us. We are so, so delighted with that. So we've got several questions that are just kind of waiting here to be answered, and so we'll be able to get to those. Ricky, you got something?
Yes, we have this caller calling in this question. He wants to know, was John the Baptist a member of the church? Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I don't know if we've actually answered that question per se in the past, and we sure do appreciate your interest in that as well. And the answer to that is in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 is where John the Baptist was beheaded, and his head was brought into presented out on a platter. So he was pretty well dead if his head was separated from his body. Now, later, Jesus gives great tribute to him, that there was no greater prophet than he. He was quite a man and a wonderful person to precede the Lord. Well, then, what does that have to do with the question? Well, in chapter 16, we see Jesus talking to the apostles about who people say that I am, and he tells them in response to their question, he says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. That is chapter 16 and verse 18. So there his church had not begun yet, and so no, John the Baptist was not part of the church. John the Baptist lived and died under what's called the law of Moses. Luke calls it that. And so he lived and died under that law, and he will be judged under that law. Matter of fact, even Jesus lived under that law. And thus the way to receive forgiveness of sins under that law was through those sacrifices, is one way. And when John came on the scene, that is John the Baptist, it brings out that his baptism was for the remission of sins. Mark chapter 1, verse 4, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We see Jesus and his disciples also teaching this baptism and baptizing people while he walked on the face of the earth, but it had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. We'll see later on commanded in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. There it talks about them also baptizing, and actually more disciples than John did. But now, starting with his death, burial, and resurrection, he told the apostles to go into all the world, preaching the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. That made this new baptism after his death, burial, and resurrection, which is the symbol for our baptism today, different than the one that John the Baptist taught and the disciples taught. And so now we are baptized in the name or by the authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be for the remission of sins, which is like it was before. But it says in Acts 2 and verse 47 that we are added to his church. In Acts 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to his church daily those being saved. And we can see what they did there in Acts 2. They received the word in verse 41. They received the word with all readiness of mind, and the Lord added them to his church in verse 47. We can see that that was occurring there. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. And thus there's a number of people that lived and received the remission of sins before Christ died on the cross, but their remission was sent forward to the cross the same way as Abraham's, as Adam's, as everybody else that received forgiveness in the Old Testament went forward to the cross. And then when Christ died on the cross, now we live unto Christ. And thus, starting with the day of Pentecost, his kingdom was set up. He being king, we are to be his subjects. And we've got to do what our king says. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. The pivot point there is the day of Pentecost when the church began. And hopefully that's been helpful to you. Again, that's Matthew chapter 14, chapter 16, Acts 2, Matthew 28 are the verses that I referenced, the last three verses of Matthew 28. Thank you so much. We sure do appreciate your question so much, and hopefully you will continue studying on that, and hopefully we'll be all of us be able to come to a richer knowledge of what God expects of us. The number is 308-9564 is the number, 308-WJNI. We do want to remind you there is an operator standing by at 553-5157, and with the correspondence course will be sent to you free of charge. It is absolutely free. We are happy to send it to you without delay, so don't miss out on this. Again, that number for the correspondence course to be sent to you is 553-5157. However, if you want to just go ahead and ask a question here, you can text us at 725-9283, or you can call our voice line at 308-9564.
Yeah, we have a question from Mrs. Graham. This is a follow-up question to the one she had before, actually maybe the second part of that. And the question is, would we have to pray to God first before he came back? Remember, the first part of that question was having to do with would it be illegal for Jesus to come back, the Lord to come back? And not sure all of what's behind that, but with the first one, we traced passages to Philippians chapter 2 about the importance that when the Lord comes again, every knee shall bow. Whatever law man has made is going to be, of course, overcome because God is sovereign. He is the king of the world. And so his rule will, of course, rule the day. Concerning this idea about praying to God before he comes back, the passages that talk about the second coming of the Lord talk about it in such a way that it's going to be unexpected. No one's going to know. People will be, therefore, caught unprepared if they're not ready. And so when the epistles were written, the letters of the New Testament were written, Paul prepared Christians to always be ready. One such passage is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when it says in verse 1, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. So that passage, like all the other passages that it talks about the Lord's coming, is he will come at a time when we don't expect him. The world doesn't expect him because they're saying peace and safety. They're going on with their life's ambitions and goals, storing up treasures upon this earth. But at a time when people are saying peace and safety, when they're not expecting, the Lord will come. And so there is nothing that the Lord's going to be dependent upon us to prepare for, to do, like to pray, in order for him to come again. He will come in his own time and his will. So it doesn't make any difference whether we're praying or not for him to come. We have passages like in the book of Revelation, the very last thing that John wrote was, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come." And so he obviously was praying for the Lord to come. We all ought to be hastening the coming of the day of the Lord because we're looking forward to going home. And so that would be the difference largely between Christians and those who are not Christians. Christians are looking for that day. They've got one ear cocked to the heavens, as it were, waiting for that trump of God to sound. And so let's all be advised that we need to be ready. You need to become a child of God, have your sins washed away, and be walking in light so that you can be ready when he does come. Thank you, Mrs. Graham, so much for that question. Again, call 308-9564. You can join us here or text us at 725-9283. Mr. Rickey.
Yes, we have this question coming in. We won't be able to finish it before the break, but we want you to be aware of what's on deck before right after the break. We have this question based upon 1 Peter 5, verse 7. How do I cast my cares upon him? How do we go about that process? Well, that's a wonderful question. It is so very important that we learn how to do that because, you see, there's a lot of us out there that have just enough religion to make ourselves miserable. We see what we ought to be doing. We know what we ought to be doing, but we're just not willing to do it, and therefore we are miserable Christians. Well, we're going to be seeing what God has to say about that, how we should be living, and the way to be able to be assured that he hears our prayers and that he takes those cares and those stresses from us. So stay tuned for that after the break. We're going to go over that in some detail. And so get your Bible and pencil ready. There's going to be another number of passages right after the break. Please know that this we're two-thirds of the way through the program. Don't miss out on getting the correspondence course. Here's the operator standing by at 553-5157. Here's the information about the correspondence course, so don't miss out on this. Please go ahead and enroll. It is free. It is free. Don't miss out on this. We'll send it to you in tomorrow's mail, and we will let the Bible speak there in the privacy of your home. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We're glad to be able to be in your home and be able to serve you. We hope and pray that this is beneficial to you, and that you will go ahead and call in your questions. What are the numbers?
The numbers are 308-9564 to call in, or to text if you prefer to do that, is 725-9283. And, of course, again, we want to encourage that Bible correspondence course because it can be such a blessing to you. And like all things that, you know, you sign up for, make a schedule for, you say, "Oh, that sounds like a commitment." Well, it is. But the nice thing about that is that you can do it at your leisure and at your own time frame. That number is 553-5157. So please call that in. We've got some lines that are open, and so it's a good time to call in. And we really appreciate so much the attention that you pay to call in and to ask those questions. It is a blessing to us, and we're so encouraged by it. And so, Rickey, you got something for us?
Yes, we have Ben calling in this question. He wants to know about How do I cast my cares upon Christ or upon God? 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. And so thank you, Ben. This is very, and I, because I know your heart is so tender, I'm going to give you some extra attention here. It says, first of all, what we need to do is to make certain that we have Christ as our mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says there is one mediator between us and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And so Christ has got to be our mediator. We've got to be in Christ in order for that to occur. In Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, I would encourage you to read through those chapters, and you'll notice the number of times that all of these blessings that God dictates there in those chapters. And by the way, in those three chapters, there's almost 50 different blessings that are found in Christ, in Him, in the Beloved, in Christ. You'll see this over and over again. And so there's about 50 of them, and God specifies that these are to be in Christ. So if we're not in Christ, like, for example, we're redeemed, we're adopted, we're one of His beloved sons. If we're not in Christ, we have none of those blessings. So how do we get into Christ? That's what we got to figure out. Well, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 and Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 show us the last step that literally puts us into Christ. Now, these are prefaced. We must do these things that lead up to this step. But we've got to believe in Jesus, but even the devil believes in Jesus. We've got to repent of our sins, turn away from those sins, where there were those that were doing many good works in Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23. So there's, and he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So that we've got to do more than that. We've got to believe, we've got to repent, we have to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. Well, even the demons did that. So there's more to it than that. We've got to believe, we've got to repent, we've got to confess. And then those two passages I mentioned, Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27, we must be baptized into Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27, Romans 6, verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. So first, Ben, we've got to make certain that we're in Christ. If we have not completed our obedience to be put into Christ, then what I'm about to say may be meaningless. Because unless we have gotten God's ear through the blood of His Son, that we've died with Christ to rise and walk in newness of life, then our prayers will not make it to His heart. So now, once we're in Christ, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8 show us one or several aspects of how to cast our care upon Him. It says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And so the Lord is there. If we are in Him and He in us, the Lord is there. And thus I can cast all my care upon Him, as 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says. It says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, lovely, just, anything praiseworthy, think, meditate on these things. There's a solution. There is the formula. What we need to do is to be able to utilize it. We've got to do it. We've got to obey it. All of those verses were not suggestions. They were not just a feel-good passage. This was instructions to us on how to act, how to believe, how to feel, how to think about the problems, the cares, the anxieties of this life. Earlier, we mentioned Matthew 6, verses 19 through the end of the chapter, so I highly recommend to you Philippians 4, 4 through 8 as well. And you know, if we do this, Peter, later by inspiration, says, 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, he who would love life and see good days, and by the way, he's quoting from the Old Testament Psalms, let him refrain his tongue from evil, let his lips and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So we've got to repent of that evil. We've got to turn to him. We've got to be in Christ, and we can see that good life, those good days, full of peace. But we've got to pursue it. Ben, I hope that's been helpful to you. Again, we are so thankful that you have listened to now these many years, and we hope and pray that you would give us a call and invite us into your home, and we would be thrilled to be able to meet you face-to-face and be able to study God's Word with you right there in your home. So why don't you call the operator standing by and make those arrangements. That number is 553-5157. That's 553-5157, and we will be thrilled to be able to converse and study with you with an open Bible right there face-to-face. Again, that number 553-5157. Steve?
Yeah, we have a question here from our text line concerning a passage in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. That passage is in the context of where Jesus, the disciples of John come to Jesus, and they say, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Well, Jesus responds in verse 15 and says, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Well, again, it's helpful to us to realize what precipitated this statement of Jesus, and it was the question of fasting. John's disciples fasted, and the Pharisees fast often, but the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, weren't. Well, why was that? And Jesus says, well, the bridegroom's here, and as long as the bridegroom is here, the friends of the bridegroom rejoice. And so when he's taken away, then they will fast. And then by explanation, he just says, this is just right to do. Your bridegroom's there, you rejoice. That's a very obvious and appropriate thing to do. It's not appropriate to put a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, nor is it appropriate or wise to put new wine into old wineskins. And so just like that, Jesus is saying it's not appropriate for the disciples of the bridegroom to fast when he's here. So that's really the explanation that Jesus gives, helps them to understand why it is that they are not fasting. Appreciate so much that question. We really appreciate questions that are on specific Bible texts, and that's very, very encouraging for us. It shows us that you've been reading and studying your Bible, and so we appreciate that so much. Got another question? Anybody out there? 308-9564, 308-9564. Text us at 725-9283.
The lines are available right now, so if you want to go ahead and call in your question, we're getting closer to the end of the program, so don't miss out on getting your question on the air. All the lines are available right now, 308-9564, 308-WJNI. And we will now we have one line available, so go ahead and call in your question and just let it ring until we get to you. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We have this caller texting in this question. The last digits of their phone number is 770. They want to know, where in the Bible does it say living together before marriage is a sin? Well, first of all, thank you so much. Thank you for calling in your question. And the way you ask your question, there is not a verse of Scripture that says living together is a sin. Living together before marriage is a sin. What it does say is a sexual relationship between individuals, whether you're living under the same roof or not, is a sin. That would be called fornication. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, there's the word, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, nor sodomites, nor thieves, or covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the truth of the matter is, none of those are inborn. We are those. All of those are choices. And we can see that those are choices of lifestyle as well as every other sin. And it says, and such were some of you. They decided they did not want to do that anymore. And thus, but you have been washed, you have been sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, as far as the sexual sin, that is what the Bible says concerning that. Now, there is another aspect to that maybe I ought to address, and that is, well, what about if it is not sexual relationship? Is there a danger in that? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if the general perception among those that are observing such as this, and they see this activity, maybe the 2 Thessalonians, when they see this activity, if they come to the conclusion of sin, then it would be certainly a sin. And you're going to have to help me out. Here it is, yes. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, test all things, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. So whatever we might, if we look like we might be doing something, then we are actually doing harm to the cause of Christ. I remember when I was a teenager, my parents took me to what they called a cocktail party. Now, I was a teenager, a younger teenager. Well, here I really ought not have been there to begin with, but I didn't want to look strange. So I got me a Sprite in the same kind of cup that they had, so it looked like that I had a mixed drink as well. Well, now, as I have started studying God's Word and have become a child of God, I would never do something like that because I would be identifying myself with those that are obviously practicing wrong, and I would not want to affiliate or even look like I was practicing that which was wrong, even though I just have Sprite in my cup. So there, our influence has got to be above board as well. Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, we can see Paul's attitude on that, as well as Romans chapter 14, that he would not eat or drink meat. He would not eat meat or drink anything that would cause his brother to stumble. And so we've got to make certain of that as well. So there's two aspects of that that we should consider. Again, the number 3089564, one line is available. This is our last segment. This is our last break. Don't miss out on the correspondence course. Here's the information on it. There's an operator standing by right now. If it's busy, just hit redial, but you will be able to get through if you continue to try during the next 15 minutes as we try to get you this course in the mail to you. It is free. We're happy to send it to you free of charge. Again, the number here, 3089564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we want you to know that we're happy to have you. And again, the questions are coming in. We'll do our best to get to them, and so we'll keep our answers very short and precise, so get a pencil ready to write down the question. We have Milton calling in this question. What does it mean to carry each other's burden? And that's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, where it says, bear one another's burden. If someone is, if a brother is in need of their load is too heavy, we're supposed to be helping them, whether it is a physical load, whether it is emotional load, in any way, form, or fashion, we are to be our brother's keeper. And so, yes, we're told to do that a number of ways, number of places, Galatians 6, 2. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7 tells us that we should bear with one another, and that's literally what it means there in the definition of love. Carry it, yes, we're there for them. They are to be with us, and we are to help them in every way possible. There's a second question here. Let me quickly answer. Please discuss the purpose of tithing. That was in the Old Testament, part of the law of Moses. The tithing was to go to the Levites. That was to maintain their sustenance because they were servants in the temple. That was the purpose of that tithing in the Old Testament. It does not tell us to tithe in the New Testament. And so that was what that tithing was for. Thank you so much for your question. Steve, you got a question?
Yes, we do. We've got several here. Mrs. Graham, questions about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Well, actually, that's where the answer to her questions are found. Well, the dead will be risen. Where is that passage? And then what will happen to the bodies of the living? And then thirdly, is the day of the coming of the Lord the same as the rapture or being caught up? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For two of those questions, verse 14 tells us about what's going to happen concerning those events. Verse 14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So when the Lord comes back again, when you hear the trumpet of God and the archangels, the dead are going to be raised. And what's going to happen second is those who are living will also be raised. There is not a separate rapture and then later on coming back after so many years and getting those who are yet alive. They will happen all at the same time. And people talk about the rapture is going to be quiet. Nobody's going to know it. That's not what's talked about here. Everybody's going to know it. The trump of God will sound. And so hopefully those passages will help with that question about those who are asleep and the woes risen first. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 16. And the other question was, what about those who are living at the day of the coming of the Lord, what will happen to the bodies of the living? 1 Corinthians 15 helps us with that. It says in verse 50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So our bodies will be changed and to a resurrected body, and that hopefully will help that question as well. So, again, we've got a lot of questions here. We're just going to have to go real quick. Ricky?
Yes, we have another caller calling in this question. When Peter walked on the water, was a woman in the boat like in the movie, quote, unquote, the Bible, that just came out? Well, first of all, I looked at all three accounts, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it just says disciples. It doesn't say apostles or the 12. So we just do not know. It does not say. And so... I don't know if women commonly went out in boats with men or not. That seems characteristic of the time, and so that would be a guess. But there's no indication in the scriptures that I can see that was the case, and so there's just no answer for that. It just says disciples. There's a lot of other things I'd like to talk about if I had time in that scene. Lynette calls in this question, what scriptures can I give to show that homosexuality is wrong? Well, I would rather address it this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 brings out that they, as long as they practice such things, that they cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. But if they would repent, they can be justified, they can be sanctified, they can be saved from that. But they've got to repent of that and do what God says for them to be able to be saved and serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. And if that is not sufficient, then you might just want to read the last half of Romans chapter 1, because it even describes it as a sin even against nature. And so Romans chapter 1 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 6, yes, verses 9 through 11. Thank you so much for the question. We sure do appreciate it. Steve?
We have a follow-up question to the one about Matthew 9, 16 to 17. And the questioner asks, could it be possible he's talking about mixing the Old and the New Testament? I've heard that point made before, and it would fit the illustration in that it's something that's inappropriate. You don't mix the Old and New Testament. That would be maybe an application of the principle. That's not necessarily what Jesus is talking about there. He's talking about fasting and rejoicing or not rejoicing, like the disciples of John the Baptist did versus the disciples of Jesus. Then we have another question from Rosa. No? Yeah, okay. Rosa asks, why do minister healers charge so much money for healing when Jesus didn't charge the woman with an issue of a flow of blood? That is a great question, Rosa, and I wish I knew the answer to that. That's not the Bible doesn't, of course, talk about what other people do, but we know what the Bible says, and we know what Jesus and the apostles did. Jesus said to the disciples, freely you have received, freely you should give. And hopefully all people out there who charging for something will quit that and do what the Bible says.
You know, the reason that so many churches are charging all of y'all so much money is because they're in the business of doing things that God never told them to do. And if I were to come into your house and take your possessions, no matter what it is, and walk out with it, well, you could convict me of stealing, being a thief. Well, how come that people would take God's money and never, ever ask his permission on how that money is to be used? If we give to the Lord, whether they call it tithes or offerings or whatever manner in which they squeeze it out of people, if they're given to the Lord, well, then shouldn't the Lord himself be the one that tells how that money is to be used? And yet, man has come up with hundreds of ways which are not in God's word at all. And so what we must do, though, if it's his money, we need to make certain that we ask his permission. What is his money to be used for? What was it used for in the first century? Well, to teach God's word, to preach God's word, to spread this word about what Jesus did to bring salvation to man. That was why Jesus came, Luke 19:10, to seek and save the lost. And that is our purpose as well. So let's not miss out on that. You have a quick question there, Steve?
Yes, someone called in and wanted to know, where does the Bible mention someone being called reverend like pastors today? Well, there is not a passage in the Bible that uses that term for men at all. It is interesting and I think quite shocking to read in Psalms 111, verse 9, that it says, he has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name.
That's God's name?
That's talking about God, yes.
So men would actually attach God's name to themselves and use it even as a title?
Isn't that shocking?
It is. I'm amazed that people would do that.
We might as well call ourselves holy.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
Some people do.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for the question. And, you know, people are going to have to answer for such brazen type behavior like that the Bible so clearly speaks against. So
we're about to end the radio program. We want you to know that there's still time. If you would like to call the operator standing by at 553-5157, don't miss out on getting this course in the mail to you this week. So don't miss out. You've got just a few more minutes, so go ahead and call and get the course in the mail to you, 553-5157. It is free. We're happy to send it to you. This is our pleasure to share the treasures of God with you that will never be taken from you. You can study this at any time, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the morning, whenever you have free time. But by all means, do study it. Just don't let it sit there on the table or in a stack of mail. Take it, open it, read it, study it, open up God's word and see what God has to say so that you may receive the eternal blessings that God has intended for us. Won't you do that today? Again, that number is 553-5157, and we'll get that in the mail to you. Well, we've reached the end of our program today, but we want you to know that we are so honored that you have taken out time in your day to be able to join us as we go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. That's where we went, right to the God's Word. He's the one that's going to judge us on how we apply these things, and he's going to judge us how we have spoken these things on the radio today. So if we've said something amiss, something wrong, please point that out to us. We will change based upon what God says and not what man says. And so please go ahead and let us know if that is the case. But by all means, may God be the one that you hear, for he's the one that's going to judge us one day. If you're looking after and looking for the happiness that only God can give, please know that it will not come through physical things, popularity, or even position in this life. The true peace that passes all understanding will come to us only by listening to His word and casting our cares upon Him. And if we do, then we have promised that peace that passes all understanding that'll keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, what we must do is let the Bible speak.